SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Yuridamarang, hello, I'm Luana Grant, executive producer of NITV Radio, and I'm thrilled to host this special episode of Australia Explained. Today, we'll delve into the importance of understanding cultural diversity among Indigenous peoples in Australia.
To interact with the other Aboriginal groups, learn to speak some of the different languages, but we've had to learn to interact with people that have different customs, different protocols.
The rich diversity within the Indigenous population of Australia is a captivating aspect, defying the common misconception that all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples belong to one homogenous group. In reality, Indigenous people represent a mosaic of cultures, languages, lifestyles, and kinship structures.
There are particular stereotypes and narrow perceptions about what is Aboriginality, who is an Aboriginal person.
Understanding and celebrating this remarkable diversity is not only enlightening, but also essential when engaging with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, fostering genuine connections and building meaningful relationships. The Indigenous peoples of Australia maintain a profound connection to their land or country, which is fundamental to their identity and sense of belonging. To fully understand this connection, one must acknowledge the diversity that exists within the First Nations communities. Auntie Munya Andrews is an Aboriginal elder from Bardi Country in the Kimberley region of Western Australia. She says one of the best places to start is the Indigenous map of Australia.
We invite people to take a look at that because there's about 500
nations
that are on that map. So just at a glance, people can just see how diverse we are here in Australia. People don't realise, they look at that and go, oh, I didn't realise there were so many groups, which there are so many nations, of course. Each nation has its own language or shares a common language with another. But so that's an awful lot of languages, an awful lot of nations.
Auntie Munya, who is an author, barrister and co-director of Evolve Communities, emphasises the importance of understanding that one size does not fit all when engaging with Indigenous peoples and building meaningful relationships.
It's not a case of one size fits all. You've got to be aware of this regional and local diversity and shape your policies and frameworks and programs around that diversity.
Carla Rogers is an Indigenous ally who works closely with Auntie Munya. She adds that this knowledge of diversity is crucial for comprehending the shared history of Australia and why gaps between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people still exist today.
When Australia was first colonised and ongoing, it's the lack of awareness of this diversity that has been the core to our problem, many of our problems that exist now. Seeing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as one homogenous group and not acknowledging this rich diversity has meant that, for example, the missions, people have been lumped together, they weren't allowed to speak language, and in some cases people may not have been able to speak to each other because they had different languages.
Depending on which nation you are from, culture, language, way of life and kinship structures all differ, even art, as Auntie Munya points out.
I can tell just looking at Aboriginal art, I know exactly which area of Australia it comes from. It's that particular. Most people associate dot painting with Aboriginal culture, but that's just one nation. When you look to Bardi people, my people, we're saltwater people, our art is very much similar to other islanders around the world in that they're geometric paintings which depict the waves, and it's not dot painting at all.
Auntie Munya says that the Indigenous peoples are experts when it comes to multiculturalism.
People think that it's a new thing, but my people have been dealing with multiculturalism for thousands of years. We've learned to interact with the other Aboriginal groups, learn to speak some of the different languages, but we've had to learn to interact with people that have different customs, different protocols and whatnot. So I always say to people, we are the experts in multiculturalism. And I think government especially needs to come more to First Nations peoples to show them how to do it better.
Dr. Mariko Smith is a Yuin woman with Japanese heritage who is a museum curator, visual sociologist and historian. She explains that she faced many challenges when growing up due to the lack of widespread awareness of the diversity inherent within the First Nations communities.
Being someone who visibly looks of, you know, not white and also Asian as well, it was one thing to be seen as Asian in a predominantly white community and all the sort of racism that comes with that. But then when I say that I'm also Aboriginal, that I think takes it to the next level in terms of scrutiny and also discrimination.
She says many Australians today still hold this very stereotypical image and ideas of the Indigenous peoples.
There are particular stereotypes and narrow perceptions about what is Aboriginality, who is an Aboriginal person. People are influenced very much around, you know, historical works and books and things that focus on, for example, skin colour and sort of level of civilization. People who think that they haven't met an Aboriginal person in their life before, but I believe chances are they would have. It's just, you know, they wouldn't have conformed to people's stereotypes and conception.
Dr. Smith says Australia needs to recognise and embrace this diversity to be truly inclusive.
We need to break out of these sort of stereotypes where they're so limiting. If you're thinking about, you know, Aboriginal people in very sort of simplistic ways, then there's only really simplistic solutions. It's such a complex and diverse concept that requires comprehensive and diverse solutions and thought as well. So there's a lot of misunderstanding, lack of interest, feeling uninformed in the community.
When non-Indigenous people do not understand this diversity, that's when people can make mistakes, Carla Rogers says.
When we don't understand that diversity, that's when, as an ally, for example, we can make mistakes. That's when we can say something that could be very hurtful and based on a stereotype, something that could be potentially racist, but generally something that's hurtful and it's a barrier to understanding.
So start by looking up the map and find out about the country you are on and their culture, just like you would if you were travelling through Europe.
Like you probably would do at home or any time you're travelling, is find out about, oh, whose country am I travelling through? Learning more about the languages in that area. And it's quite easy to do. You can just do an internet search or something to find out, you know, whose country, or you can have the map of Aboriginal Australia. So when you're travelling through Australia, just say you were going from anywhere on the coast, on the east coast, if you're travelling more than 2 hours, say, from Sydney, then you're passing through a different country.
Auntie Munya says both the local Aboriginal Land Council and your local council can provide you with a deeper insight.
Various land councils around the country, they're a good starting point to, you know, make contact with them and ask questions of them as well. They're very good at letting people know. And interestingly, so are just your local councils as well. They've really come on board now, and most of them are familiar with who are the traditional owners and can at least direct you to the right people.
And it's also about self-education, Auntie Munya adds.
Learn as much as you can. Engage, especially with First Nations peoples. There's no need to be afraid. Just introduce yourself. Go along to community events. As people begin to see you as a regular visitor, you'll find that they'll open up and may start calling you by your names once you've introduced yourself. But it's just like being brave enough to take that step to get to know your First Nations peoples and develop friendships. It does take time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained by Yumi Obar, and I'm Luana Grant. Until next time.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.